Hello everyone, we're Superhero Stuff You Should Know, and if you think you know about superheroes and comic books, think again.
We got romance, we got action,
romance.
We got comedy, we got everything you need, man. Come on down to Superhero Stuff You Should Know for all your superhero needs.
I don't know about this romance, what part are you talking about?
We've got all kinds of sketches, and then deep dives on top of that. Come on down to Superhero Stuff You Should Know.
Alright, so come on down to, why did I say come on down? To Superhero Stuff You Should Know.
Hey, welcome to Unstable Topics, a fast-paced, jam-packed, unhinged bestie podcast filled with facts, reacts, and made-up games in between.
We're your hosts, Sarah
and Maggie,
and we're excited for you to join our best friend hangout, where we surprise one another with things we find interesting or hilarious just to see how the other will react.
Our friendship might be totally stable, but you never know what your bestie might throw your way to knock you off your game.
So come shake things up, learn something new, and laugh along with us. This is Unstable Topics.
Welcome to another episode of Horror Movie Night. This week, we are talking about the 1981 cult classic Mad Men, as picked by Scott. Why did you pick this movie, and was
head
it
trauma.
Because you misread it as Mad Men, your favorite TV show?
No.
You spent 90 minutes being like, when does John Hamm show up?
They haven't marketed a goddamn thing.
Yeah.
Is that what they do on Mad Men?
We get some pork belly, though, right behind Kyle's head.
That is true.
But no Hamm. So Mad Men was skyrocketed to the top of my list because a couple months ago we were talking about how we would never do it, and Matt was like, "Oh, I feel like the kills would make it so that we could get a good episode out of it." And I was like, "Fuck yeah, okay." And I had nothing for early March, I guess, is when this is coming out.
It's coming out on Leap Day.
Well, there we go.
Ooh, yeah,
that's why. Let's rewind this whole show, and that's exactly why I did it. I did it for Leap Day.
Because the Madman's leaping all over the damn place.
Yes, yeah, Madman Mars.
We could have just watched Party Line again.
Yeah.
Dude, don't test me. I will. Anyway,
oh,
so
it's Leif Garrett. Never mind, sorry.
I knew what you were getting at.
You were with me.
And
okay,
speaking
Scott,
of leaves,
just keep talking.
The
sorry.
Best part about this is that this was supposed to be a summer camp killer movie, like a slasher movie, and then they found out that The Burning was being shot at the same time, and that they were both going to be Cropsey movies.
Inspired
movies. And they were like, well, that's going to make it so that neither of our movies are good. So they rewrote Mad Men so it was a different character. Same general idea. A killer who is probably supernatural, that is more of an urban legend than anything else, lives out in the woods, will decapitate you, will do terrible things to your head. I started watching this, and I'm like, it looks awfully cold there. Fuck, this isn't a summer camp movie. It's at a summer camp. But the principal photography started in November.
Well, there's that weird line of dialogue where he's like, y'all are going to go home for Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I'm like, who is at – because there's kids at this camp. They
right.
should be in school.
It's gifted children, which in 1981 unfortunately means one of two things. And
it's one of the two sides of the horseshoe, and
correct.
The horseshoe is almost touching.
Yeah, and unfortunately, I think it's just on the negative end of that horseshoe. But
dear
they
Lord.
Don't they don't lean into it like super heavy. It's just like, it just doesn't feel right.
It's not great. So here's the thing: I remembered this movie basically just for the kills, because when you get
that's
to
the
kills,
only reason why we're here.
Yeah, I mean, the kills are pretty fantastic throughout this movie. They really knew where they were putting their budget.
But and there's a good number of them.
And there's here's the problem that I have. Well, all right, so here's what I landed on while watching this movie. I actually think it starts very interesting. I could talk for like 20 minutes about the opening of this movie.
With the heaviest fucking campfire fire that ever has ever existed. But that is so scary and depressing.
But it's like, so this movie kumbaya. Starts off, they're at a campfire. This guy is walking around singing an a cappella song, which, Scott, you got to just get these lyrics and put some metal underneath it. But...
Dude, I don't want to because that song sucked. And also the best part about that song is that apparently that wasn't in the original script. He had to learn it like 2 days before or the day of or something like that, because the Madman Mars facial prosthetics didn't arrive on time, and so they had to like change the shooting schedule.
Okay. Well, but
so
here's
the
thing.
He was just like, oh, I guess I'm going to sing this a cappella. Like,
the opening is insanely interesting to me. Like, insanely interesting to me. Because this character is walking around, and he's singing this song, and as he goes up to each actor, we get a flash forward of, like, immediately before when their death scenes will be throughout the entire movie. That is such a strange editing choice, but I kind of love it. Like, like, I'm like, because I think in this weird way, it makes sense. I'm going to give this movie way more credit than this movie has given itself. But like, it almost feels like it's leaning into this idea that we're telling the story of a campfire urban legend, and we are establishing that all of these people will be the next iteration of someone else's campfire tale of Madman Mars. Like, I think that it's a really interesting, smart editing thing. The problem is that we hit this point in the movie in the middle where they are just buying time. They had an interesting opening, and they had a great, like, there is no scene that I have watched for Horror Movie Night that screams, we need it to film 5 more minutes, quite like the hot tub scene where they're just like staring at each other, spinning in a hot tub, listening to a song for the entirety of the song. And I'm like, why are we here? They're not even talking to each other.
And,
like,
then after that, our boy Dave becomes a fucking maniac for 3 minutes where he's just like, he has a knife. And he's like, I could cut off.
I fast forward through that part this time around.
And it's
just
like, and then he falls on them and they laugh. And then Dave has like one questionable moment, but it's clearly not like a threatening moment. He's just a dickhead. And it's just, it's like, it doesn't help us really with anything. It just kind of fills time. I will say that as a person who has directed an actor to sing a song and then realize that I don't have a tune for that song necessarily in my head, and then we have to workshop it, like, that dude, and this was only, my actor had four lines, and we just sort of like lullabied it. This was for The Woodsman. John R. Smith Jr. was fantastic, and we figured it out together, but I realized that is just like a, you know, I can't totally tell this person how to sing it if I don't have a tune in my head. And clearly this poor actor had a Bob Dylan length fucking song about Madman Mars.
It was so,
and
so
with
long.
No tuning.
This is like the Hurricane, but about, like, Madman Mars.
Like, Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald.
And it was definitely the Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald. And speaking of Mars, I have been drinking New Park's Marzen, Madman Mars, baby.
I love it. Yep. And I have a Krabby's hard ginger beer, and it's because he's not a madman, he's just a little crabby.
He's just a little somebody broke his window and somebody has to pay.
Exactly.
He was not really trying to kill anybody, he was just trying to get their insurance information.
So
come
he's
back
just clumsy.
And the guy fucking falls backwards into a noose, another guy falls backwards on a log, and then his head just falls off.
He's trying to take a picture of
these teenagers are killing each other.
Are you pitching that we redo this movie in Tucker and Dale style, where he's just genuinely trying to get some help for the broken window?
Yes. But are you saying that's not a good idea?
I think it's a great idea. It's kind of weird that this movie came out when it did, also, because this is like another one of those films where, like, you could say it's ripping off Friday the 13th sequels, but it predates
them. It
looks
so much like Friday the 13th Part 2, but they came out the same year, which is
that's what I mean. They
nuts.
Came out the same. It's like this, Sleepaway Camp, The Burning, like all of these films clearly were like inspired by the success of Friday the 13th the year prior, but also like I don't think any of them realized how close they were coming to matching what the sequels to that franchise would look like when they were making it. It's very, including, like we said, this like 30 minutes of dead time where we're just like introducing characters and like giving them backstories that don't matter.
I did not care about any of these people.
Nobody.
I didn't catch anybody's name.
No.
And this is the second time I've watched this movie. So
I do think that there's something else interesting. I think this movie has interesting bookends. Like I said, I think the opening scene is very, very interesting with that editing trick. I also think that it's very, very interesting that this is one of the few slasher movies I can think of where your quote-unquote survivor girl dies, but she dies still killing the big bad. Like, that's...
Yeah.
That doesn't happen. Like,
no, and it's also pretty nihilistic in that way, which I mean,
oh, it's
I
a
like
mean-spirited
it.
Movie. It is a like, I think the scene where she accidentally shoots the girl in the face with a shotgun,
the wounded girl.
I was like, man, this is a mean movie.
That's what I remember from the last time. Now we you said
I think
we
it's more
this
fun
in...
as a mean movie. I think it is more fun. It, like there are mean movies that I'm like, I can't watch this. It's too mean. Mm-hmm. I think the advantage to this one over a lot of others is, like you said, I don't care about any of these characters.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like we talked about that in Silent Night, Deadly Night, and how I know you're not if I remember correctly, you're not a really big fan of that and its mean-spiritedness.
I'm not a nihilist. Silent Night, Deadly Night. Silent Night, Deadly Night, I actually really like as a slasher movie. I don't like as a horror or as a Christmas movie, which is why it's like something that my Christmas season starts on November 1st. Mm-hmm. And I tend to front load it with like Black Christmas, Silent Night, Deadly Night, like all of those like really nihilistic Christmas horror movies. Because by the time we're getting like a couple days before Christmas, I want like the black and white, like as like feel good as feel good can get movies in my life. Mm-hmm. I am totally, I do have no, I know
but
that
you also
Scott
spend
wraps
like
his gifts to like Black Christmas.
45 days of Christmas movies, right? Like
roughly, yeah.
I literally don't watch Christmas movies except for Silent Night, Deadly Night, and Evil, and Elves. Like that,
Scott,
those are my...
you should know this. You should know this. I spend 365 days with Christmas movies.
Oh, fuck off.
What's going on?
Exactly. You know how we were talking before we got way off topic about this, but you know how we were talking about Leafs, like Leaf Garrett, Leaf Erickson, whatever.
Yes.
The funny thing about them shooting principal photography in November of 1980 for this is that they had to go out and find as many leaves as possible and paint them green to try and make it look like a summer camp movie, even though then the throwaway line at the beginning denotes that it's in November. It's ridiculous. I love how inept this movie is. That's the best thing
about it. It's a really inept movie. Well, I think... but then there's like I don't know, like so Madman Mars.
He's a great looking slasher.
Well, that's the thing.
I love
I
his
wrote
like
down,
weirdly sexual nails.
His weirdly sexual nails, barefoot for no real reason
because like, he's a monster.
But like I wrote this down and then I had to put an addendum to the note, which I wrote down. The makeup on Madman Mars is solid, and then I add it. When he's in the dark. Because the scene at the end where the barn is burning and you finally see the full makeup.
It's full humongous style.
Yeah,
like,
I'm like,
oh,
that's, I'm like, oh, that's a little...
Matt, you're ruining Matt's double features right now.
No, we're good. We're good. We're good. Don't worry about it. No, they do a good job of...
This is how I try to guess.
And that's the only reason... That's literally the only reason why I don't think this movie's fully a lost cause ineptitude is that, like... They were smart with how they shot things. They were smart to keep him in the dark for as much of the movie as possible because he's way more terrifying in the dark. It gives me a lot of like the first Hatchet movie versus the Hatchet sequels.
Yeah.
Where like you saw Victor Crowley so quickly in those movies that you didn't have time to piece together what he looked like.
Right.
And then like the second and third movie, he's like
they're just like fully lit.
Yeah.
lit and backlit. he's got a hair light that's coming over out of the fog somehow. I don't know.
You know, but
how,
that's the thing I gotta say is how many slasher movies succeed in showing you the killer in broad or in full light? I think that that's the whole point of a slasher movie, is that it's supposed to be kind of a night killer, if you will.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Anything can be in the dark, right? It's, like, there's a
and that's where they fail when
knowledge.
They're like, "Ah, we gotta show you what we did." Mm-hmm.
Let me ask you guys a question, because this is
good point.
I think more directed to Scott, because I think Scott and I are both on the like very pro slasher movie category, where I think Kyle, you're just kind of like take them or leave them when it comes to slasher films, right?
Yeah, I don't have a particular like. Interest in them, though I like them. I just don't have like I don't have like a subgenre specific interest in them.
Let me ask you all a question, because I've been debating what my answer is to this, and I genuinely don't know. When watching a slasher movie, do you prefer it to also have a whodunit nature, where you're trying to figure out who is the person committing the crimes, or do you prefer when it's something like Mad Men? Or like a Friday the 13th or a Nightmare on Elm Street, where like you just know who it is and you're just kind of enjoying the ride.
Because
I think I might like the whodunit aspect. I think that I'm more forgiving to a bad slasher movie if it's got a whodunit element, where I'm like, well, I got to finish this because I still am curious who's committing this crime, versus like... You know, if it's just like a bad for bad, like if it's just a bad slasher movie and I also know that it's Jason Voorhees doing everything, I'm like, I don't need to watch this. Like, there's nothing enticing me to the finish line.
If I'm going to watch a slasher
Murray.
If I'm going to watch a slasher movie, I prefer that it doesn't have the whodunit aspect.
Okay.
But I prefer movies that have a whodunit aspect. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
you don't like your slashers to have a whodunit, but anything else, you're all in.
Correct. Like, it's a preference. I do like the whodunit slashers. I do, but when I'm making an actual choice, I would prefer to watch a slasher that tells me the story and like we are like in that story's world.
Okay.
You know.
I have added something to my what did I watch, because I did watch a very awful whodunit slasher movie that we are never going to do on this show probably.
Yes.
I'll save that for later, because before we wrap this up, I think we should at least give some quick shout outs to some of our favorite kills, because
that's what I really watched this movie for.
So, Scott, it was your pick. I think you get to first draft pick.
Thank you. I'm going to go with the truck trunk
so good.
Kill. Because it's
hood.
Very
it's the hood, because they
the
find
hood.
It.
Sorry, yeah.
They find the head staring upward, which makes so little sense on how that
it
head
makes
is embedded
total sense
in there.
If you have Madman Mars go in and just do a little whoop.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. that is a phenomenal, and that is a brutal kill. How about you, Kyle? What's a kill that you need to give?
The trunk kill was my favorite.
I feel bad
because
I think that everybody's gonna say the trunk.
No, I got two other ones. I think there are two other standouts.
I will say that the hanging, like the cutting down of the hanging, not the actual death itself,
yes.
but the discovery of the body, I thought was great. Like, I you know, that was pretty gnarly. It was, you know, the mean-spiritedness that we're talking about, it felt very graphic to me, even though it was not very bloody, but it was, you know, it's a hanging person. So, like, it was gnarly. It was gnarly.
Yeah. I mean, when Dave gets his head cut off, there's a good old blood squirt out of the hole in his
stump.
Head. That's always a good moment. But I think I'm going to go with Ellie, who's the one who gets the axe to the chest.
In her
and
chest.
It, like,
oh,
and
yeah.
it's like there's like this blood explosion, and then she gets shot in the face by the survivor girl following that. So I think that's my favorite one.
After hiding in a refrigerator, which I think the PSA came out a couple years later that you're not supposed to go into a refrigerator.
When you say the PSA, do you just mean that episode of Punky Brewster? Or
like, yes.
You know, I only ever knew it as a PSA, but it might
Hello everyone, we're Superhero Stuff You Should Know, and if you think you know about superheroes and comic books, think again.
We got romance, we got action,
romance.
We got comedy, we got everything you need, man. Come on down to Superhero Stuff You Should Know for all your superhero needs.
I don't know about this romance, what part are you talking about?
We've got all kinds of sketches, and then deep dives on top of that. Come on down to Superhero Stuff You Should Know.
Alright, so come on down to, wait, why did I say come on down? To Superhero Stuff You Should Know.
Hey, welcome to Unstable Topics, a fast-paced, jam-packed, unhinged bestie podcast filled with facts, reacts, and made-up games in between.
We're your hosts, Sarah
and Maggie,
and we're excited for you to join our best friend hangout, where we surprise one another with things we find interesting or hilarious just to see how the other will react.
Our friendship might be totally stable, but you never know what your bestie might throw your way to knock you off your game.
So come shake things up, learn something new, and laugh along with us. This is Unstable Topics.
Hi, friends. The world got you down? Don't be sad. Listen to $2 Late Fee with Zach and Dustin.
$2 Late Fee is the podcast that celebrates the best decade of entertainment, the 1980s. We pick a movie and soundtrack from our youth that we loved and see if it holds up today. We also interview your favorite celebrities from that era.
All in the spirit of positivity and togetherness. Check us out at $2LateFee.com.
So speaking of such, Scott, what's your double feature?
So this was kind of a hard one for me to pick a double feature for. So I was kind of, I don't feel like this is a very interesting double feature, but I'm going to go with The Prowler just because there's another one that falls
into
gritty.
I thought I was so sneaky. I was like, here's the other one that's great.
Well,
for
and
the kills.
It's funny because I'm like, this is the least sneaky, you know, double feature. So I apologize. Go ahead, Matt. What do you got for us?
Well, no. I'll let Kyle. I'll see if Kyle's two for two. If he also steals my backup.
So I wrote. Y'all mentioned it out loud. I did write down Hatchet. Now I don't want to watch Hatchet. The problem is
no
I don't want
to
watch it.
Watch Hatchet.
So I would actually stop and I would play The Quarry. So Matt had
that
a really interesting.
Yeah.
So I would, and which you can play at co-op with other people. So if we're sitting and watching a movie, then the next thing that we would do is we would play co-op The Quarry. And Matt had an interesting point about the beginning campfire, which would then flash to death scenes. In The Quarry, there is, like, between every chapter, you meet with sort of like a narrator, and this narrator happens to be a tarot card reader. And if you find tarot cards throughout your journey in the chapter before, you can allow her to, like, look into her sort of crystal ball and will tell you future happenings. And it's not always death, but it was an interesting being, like, look forward to this thing that's going to happen in the next chapter if you get the little clue. So it's like if you're listening to the song or watching him go around person to person, you get little hints. So it actually matches up even way better than I was anticipating.
Okay. All right. Well, then
I mean,
I will
also,
go...
My Bloody Valentine has the ballad, so...
Will you please?
Oh, fuck, I'm so sorry.
Anyway, I was going to go with My Bloody Valentine that was released the same year. Also a very mean-spirited film with a lot of great kills. I think My Bloody Valentine is... more mean-spirited than this, in the sense of I think My Bloody Valentine has more likable and memorable characters in it. So it's like when you're seeing them literally get their head impaled on a pipe with water blowing, like, coming out of their mouth.
Yeah, the real version.
Yeah, like you get version. the good gore-filled version. I think that's pretty high up there as a truly mean-spirited movie. Anyway... God damn it, Scott. What's going on with you taking my pick like that? But also, Creature Feature Weekend, April 19th to the 21st. We'll be there. We'll be doing a panel. It'll be fun. The Patreon, patreon.com/HMN podcast, where you can become part of our Slack channel and all types of cool stuff. Visit our website, HMNpodcast.com, and hit us up on our socials, HMN Podcast on basically everything. Scott, what did you watch this week or read or listening to or any of those other things? What TVs, what movie did you explain to your wife on a long car ride?
I got two quick ones. One, the new Neck Deep record came out the time this is coming out. It's been out for a bit. And it's a return to their very, very poppy pop punk stuff, like Wishful Thinking and that era, like, you know, at least 10 years ago when they were doing their stuff. They've shed a lot of the more like alt rock kind of things that they were doing in the last couple records, and I really like it a lot. Very, very good. Megan enjoyed it as well. We've been listening to that and enjoying it while we've been cooking. And we also rewatched The Devil Wears Prada. She was like, do you want to watch The Devil Wears Prada? I was like, fuck yeah, I want to watch The Devil Wears Prada. That movie is just great because it's the better version of the book. Megan was explaining to me that the protagonist in the book is actually much worse. She's kind of an asshole to all of her friends.
Is it Weiner who wrote the book? Do you remember the author of the book?
No.
Sorry. Carly has it somewhere. No, that's okay.
Megan read it, and so she was like, she's a lot worse for friends, and she very obviously cheats on her boyfriend in Paris, and blah, blah, blah. It's a really fun movie.
All right, let me get into this nonsense real quick. First off, I watched a movie. I watched a whodunit slasher movie because a picture of the slasher's mask showed up on a random I was watching. A movie called Do You Want to Know a Secret, starring Joey Lawrence and Chad Allen, 2001. It is.
What did it predate Saw?
Yeah.
Wow.
It is real fucking bad. It is truly, truly a pile of shit. And I will not pick it for this because it's real bad. But HBO
but
Max.
It's post tequila. But it's post tequila body shots.
It is post tequila body shots. He was riding high on tequila body shots. But Max added a documentary that I had been really interested in seeing. It may have been on there for a while and I just didn't realize it. Little Richard, I Am Everything. Which is a deep dive into the life of Little Richard. It's a very interesting, almost polarizing thing to watch because there is so much to love about Little Richard. In a lot of ways, you could argue that Little Richard, more than any other musician, really brought like 50s rock and roll, the gritty sound that it had more than like, you know, definitely more than Elvis, definitely more than like a lot of his contemporaries, even like a Fats Domino. He was that wild, flamboyant outfit, standing on the piano, screaming at the top of his lungs, like crazy rock and roll music. And like, if you're like me and you were a kid in the 80s and 90s, you know Little Richard from appearing on all types of TV shows. Like, he was in the Pee Wee's Playhouse Christmas special and stuff like that. Like, he's like someone that you're aware of. And then there's this whole other side of it that's like religious upbringing, self-hatred, queer. And it dives into that as well. Like, this idea that he is very aware of his homosexuality, and because of his very, very deep religious ties, just fights against it at every opportunity. And like, it's kind of sad because you're watching this person who just can't accept who he is in himself. So I think it's a really powerful documentary, and it doesn't really say like, hey, you should love Little Richard, or hey, you should vilify Little Richard. Just puts it out there like, this is all these great accomplishments that he did, and unfortunately here's a lot of the stuff that he just could not find to love about himself. So it's really an interesting doc to check out in that sense. So bringing the mood down a little bit, I apologize. Kyle, save us, Kyle.
I can barely.
What was the name of that author, Kyle? Tell us.
Elizabeth Weiner. Oh my god. A belly button, please. I honestly, you're catching me at a week that I got to watch one thing and the rest is just
self-care. Stop right there. Thank you very much. I need somebody with a human touch. You had a film premiere.
I did. I did. I can talk about that.
I was going to say,
you're so busy.
Yeah, I was going to say, you didn't have time to watch anything because you were premiering a goddamn movie.
Okay, so Don't Forget to Leave had its friends and family and campaign backers screening in Beverly, Massachusetts at the Bridge 9 Records warehouse, which So they opened up a storefront in Beverly, Massachusetts, and they have a room in the back that can fit, I'm going to say a handful of people to be safe. But it is, you know, we had 80
people. Yeah, tell me more about this back room.
So it's, they have, so they have like pop-up shows there. Newfound Glory played, Cave-In played, like, American Nightmare played.
Wow.
And somebody else. So they're doing, and it's open just like September 2022. So this is very like, they're still kind of figuring things out. Not in a bad way, but just like, kind of like how far they can go with these events and this stuff in the back room, right? So all this to say, this was their first screening at their location. They graciously hosted us. Chris and Kat over there are incredible. But we had a private screening of Don't Forget to Leave, which is a documentary about the life and legacy of Tim Landers, who was the songwriter and guitarist of Transit. Misser, Off and On, and Cold Collective were his sort of bands, but mostly known for Transit. And he was a musician who struggled with an opioid addiction. And he unfortunately didn't make it. He's no longer here with us, but he was really actively trying, and by the end of his time here, he was being very honest and open about his addiction and overcoming it and trying to work on it, and because that work is also never done, right? So like that is the screening itself was the hardest room to screen to. Tim's dad was there.
Oh, wow.
A lot of interviewees who nobody has seen any footage or anything from this. So we were really taking, it's not that we were taking a risk, but it felt very vulnerable. And I'm sure everybody else who was interviewed felt that way too. Tim's dad probably felt that way. And unprompted at the end of the screening, Tim's dad stepped up on stage and really gave us his stamp of approval. You know, was very touched by what we had done, and as were many of the interviewees that had came up and talked to us afterwards. So, you know, I think I'm really excited for the world to see it, especially now that we've gone through that screening. Like, so we're going to be submitting it to more festivals and trying to get it out and in front of people's eyes more this year. You know, it's been a long time coming, but getting through that screening and having the response that we did, was everything. So, really, really excited to have it out. And, my body was literally sore the next day from how much I was shaking. It was just, you know, I'm a producer and an editor, and trying to like make sure people's interviews not only portray Tim the way that we would want, but also portray them the way we just had a lot of people's reputations and
I was gonna say I guess it's a lot different than when you're just like editing interviews about cult films or going to horror conventions, you know what
and
I mean?
Like, boy, I didn't realize that until I was sitting in that room being like, oh, I've compiled all of these people's like words, and now they're sitting in this room with me, and they know that I've done this. And I just had this sort of moment where I was like, I really hope that, and I certainly went into editing hoping to honor that, right? Like that's mm-hmm. an intention of mine no matter what.
Yeah, I think anybody who knows you does not think that you were ever in the mood of a got you journalism.
Right. But then I realized that these people don't know me.
That's
right?
true.
So like I'm like, you know, I know that about myself, and everybody who I work with or talk to or are friends with, anybody who I can come in contact with, I know that that's part of me, and I'm very fortunate and feel very blessed about that. But at the same time, these people don't know me at all. So I'm like walking into this room with very sensitive subject matter. And this is probably a topic for another time, but I'm glad you said that, because I'm very happy with how the screening went, and I really can't wait for people to see it. I watched Don't Forget to Leave 2024, and I hope you get to catch it soon.
What did you give it on Letterboxd?
Zero stars.
We will be back.
It's not that it was a bad movie, but Kyle Kuchta was involved, and I just don't like that dude.
He's a really polarizing character.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. riding the polarizing. So stay tuned for next week. We'll have more horror movie night goodness. I should have said smoke in the polarizing. God damn it.
Hello everyone, we're Superhero Stuff You Should Know, and if you think you know about superheroes and comic books, think again.
We got romance, we got action,
romance.
We got comedy, we got everything you need, man. Come on down to Superhero Stuff You Should Know for all your superhero needs.
I don't know about this romance, what part are you talking about?
We've got all kinds of sketches, and then deep dives on top of that. Come on down to Superhero Stuff You Should Know.
Alright, so come on down to, wait, why did I say come on down? To Superhero Stuff You Should Know.
Hey, welcome to Unstable Topics, a fast-paced, jam-packed, unhinged bestie podcast filled with facts, reacts, and made-up games in between.
We're your hosts, Sarah
and Maggie,
and we're excited for you to join our best friend hangout, where we surprise one another with things we find interesting or hilarious just to see how the other will react.
Our friendship might be totally stable, but you never know what your bestie might throw your way to knock you off your game.
So come shake things up, learn something new, and laugh along with us. This is Unstable Topics.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.